Well, I hope you're tuning in and haven't listened to the mini-sode, because you won't know how much craziness is ahead. I'm meeting a baby. I'm fighting a man in Florida. I'm bleeding gallons of blood. I'm reassessing whether or not I want to be a vampire. I do. And I'm losing my car keys a lot so that I can fight the legend herself, Pimpinela Escarlata. Come find out more on Weekend at Effie's. It probably doesn't help that I'm starting this off with a yawn, does it?
That's a good sign.
I think we're in a better position than we were for the mini-sode. If you listen to the mini-sode, good luck. Good luck to you. Peter, you tried to keep it together. It was a hell of an effort.
Thank you. Good. You also tried to keep it together.
I did not keep it together on the mini-sode. We're here. It's Weekend at Effie's. It was a long week. I'm feeling all of the week. I have to go back and be Effie soon, but I don't feel like Effie today, and I don't have to be Effie today. And even though we're on a podcast named after Effie, I don't ever have to be Effie on this podcast, which is lovely.
Yeah.
It's a freedom. I was definitely not Effie when I started the week. Do you know where I started the week?
Where did you start the week?
I'm meeting the baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All the way back. I woke up and I went to the airport and I got a rental car and I went to meet the baby. And
just flashing forward to the rental car and a text that I got from
you. Okay. All right. Okay. Sorry. We'll get to it. I went down to Tampa, Florida early and I met the baby. And my brother had this baby. They made it themselves.
With homegrown.
Yeah, he cummed in his wife. I don't know. You're not supposed to say it like that. But like, you know, when people are like, we're trying for a baby. It's just like a dude being like,
I'm coming in my wife.
And you're like, oh, man, that's so incredible. But I guess it's better than like we're trying for an abortion, which is when you're coming in your wife, but then you're going to put her through trauma. This is all right. I'm going to change the subject. They had a baby. Oh, I might still be there. We're having fun. Beautiful baby Gabriella.
Miracle of life.
Beautiful baby Gabriella. And Gunkle went down to meet the baby. So halfway through this drive, I realized, oh, I think they're going to take pictures of me. So I went to Target and I got a new outfit. So I'll have you know, I now have two pairs of pants. Two pairs of real pants. And because of some other information I got that I can't legally share yet, but you know, I'm going to need some outfits.
This is true. We need some,
they messaged us and AJ goes, we have to go shopping. And I go, what? And he goes, this says you need 7 outfit choices. And I go, well, I already got 2 pairs of pants. So that just means I need a few shirts and we're good to go. And he was like, be for fucking real. Be for fucking real. They asked for 7 outfits. You can't just show up with you and be like, I have 2 pairs of pants now.
I don't think they're going to like the bussy shirt.
Yeah, I think I was told 2 things. One, when I did my thing, my audition thing for this. One, sir, could you put a shirt on? Which is something you've had to tell me before because of the nipple issue on TikTok. TikTok now suing the federal government under First Amendment.
Everything's going well.
It's going great. We're having a good time. So TikTok suing the government. But then they told me you can't wear your bussy shirt. So these are the 2 things I've been told so far. So outfit choices. Yeah, maybe I do need to go shopping. But someone, this is a sidetrack of the baby, of me getting nice clothes to wear for the picture. Someone was talking about what if there was an indie wrestler with a gala, like the Met Gala. And someone said, Effie, you would roast them if you had a gala. And I went, I don't want to host anything. And they said, well, if you showed up, you're so fashionable. And I wrote, I have one fucking outfit. I'm Ronald McDonald. One outfit. If I'm not wearing the outfit, I'm wearing shorts and a tank top.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time, I can't even put fucking clothes on. I'm just a half-clothed meat person. Just existing in layers of skin and sweat. No, there's no way. I'm not going to the gala. I only go anywhere nowadays if you pay me, and I'm not hosting anything else. How's that?
Yeah.
I've been trying to find a nice way to say I'm not doing any more fucking brunches this year. But then I found out I am going to do one more brunch this year. But do you know why I'm doing it? Money.
Yeah.
Don't shh. Nobody heard that. Nobody heard. That's why I'm doing it. You know what I'm doing this year? Dealing with the concussions and fucking brain trauma of being Effie. That's what I'm dealing with. That's what I'm doing. That's where my effort is. You know what everybody else should do? Go have your own fucking show. You want a gay show everyone can be on? Go fucking book it then, you loser. Oh, nobody's coming to yours? Maybe I shouldn't book you on mine. How about that? I had someone reach out to me and they said, nothing to do with booking, just miss being your friend. And I went, what do you think that fucking means? Peter, I don't hang out with people.
No.
Unless they're in my vicinity.
Yeah.
Or we're making money together.
Yeah.
Like I'm socially fucked up. Okay. I get it. It's fine. But I'm not seeking out normal friendship at this point in my life.
Yeah.
Will I regret it later in my life? I don't know.
You are going to a friend thing on Sunday though.
Am I?
Yeah. You told me you're going to the drain show or the.
Yeah, you can say where okay. I'm going. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's like my one friend from high school and college long term.
Yeah.
Who is like, I'm going to be in town with my wife.
Yeah.
Can we please see you?
Yeah.
Who knows me from not being Effie at all. And right. I'm going, yeah, yeah. How do I make it happen? And they're like, we will be in this specific location for a few hours. Could you possibly appear? And I go, yeah, I'll do it. What does it take of me? And they go, you just appear for a few hours. It happens to be at a show. So it'll be me and him with, what do you call it? Earplugged. Earplugs.
Earplugs, huh? Yeah.
What? No, it's good. It's good. No, it'll be nice. It'll be fine.
But you've also figured out the secret to life, which is what we all want, which is to work with your friends.
Right. So like that's the difference is I am with friends and I hang out with friends, but we are there for work and we work together as friends and we understand each other because of that. But
it's also being an adult, you have to schedule thing. You have to schedule social stuff as if it is a job.
But also like even trying to have regular friends now. My job, no matter how much I am praised in my job or how much I make or how many places I go, it is immediately infantilized when people start asking me questions about my job, which I don't want to talk about. And they're, you know, how's your little wrestling thing? What is that like? What do you do? Is it like you do that? Are there like people that come and you're like, I'm not ever hanging out with you fucking losers again. What's it? Oh, do you do accounting? Is that, do you look at the books? Oh, do you log in every day? Do they message you on Teams? Is that fun when they message you on Teams? Do you have meetings? Everybody meets together to talk about the week's objectives? What's that like? What's that like being tied to your fucking office chair? You fucking losers. So that's why I can't have normal friendships right
now. Yeah.
So this baby, right? I think I'm tough and cool. And then I hold this baby. Number one, babies, very small. This is a 5-week old baby. Very small. Very hairy, this baby. Like, just, did you see the baby's hair?
Yes. I don't know much about babies to know if that was an alarming amount of hair.
I think it's more hair than I've seen on a lot of
babies. I'm terrified of babies.
I'm terrified of babies as well. They said, you can hold it. And I'm holding the baby. And they go, you seem a little tense. And I went, yeah, my insurance does not cover this high of a premium if the baby falls. I have to be tense. If I drop the baby, we're in a real troubling situation. They're like, you're not going to drop the baby. And I go, you don't know that. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen to this baby. When's the last time I held a baby? I was at a wrestling show when a pregnant woman, well, she used to be pregnant. She came up to me and she goes, remember when I was pregnant? And I said, yeah. And then she handed me a baby and she goes, now the baby's here. And I'm holding her baby and I'm going, I don't think this baby should be at this wrestling show. But I'm holding it. And I'm not going to keep it for myself. So it's, you know, am I going to judge your parenting while I'm holding the baby? No. But this is a different baby. So I'm holding the baby. And I melted like a little like a little,
like a baby,
like a baby. I melted like a baby. But then I noticed the mother, my sister-in-law, who, great moment with the sister-in-law where we both realized we don't have either of our numbers saved in each other's phones. And she's playing it off like, oh, I forget to save numbers. And I'm like, no, like, I get it. Like, it's, there's not a non-emergency reason you would need to contact me.
Right.
And she's taking pictures of me holding the baby. And I look at the pictures and I go, hey, could we do that from another angle? Because as you can guess, I don't think the baby needs the first picture of her and her uncle together to be one where my head tattoo is visible. Could you take another picture where the baby reflecting on these moments is not going to see my head tattoo as the first thing?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to look clean and together and with it.
I thought you got a haircut.
I pulled the hair back.
Yeah.
Which, okay, that's the thing. Hold up. The boy messaged me. I got to check. Okay. I had to look presentable for the baby. And here's the, every day I wake up, Peter, and I want to shave my fucking head.
Yeah.
And it will come soon.
Yeah.
I will just, like, I will not push it away. And I've watched videos of myself this weekend, and the fact that my head has been split open and my hair drilled out and my head lumpy with wounds has made it to where I cannot, like, re-dye this hair in a safe way.
Yeah.
And it's not... If I could have re-dyed it and got a little haircut, I think I would have enjoyed the hair more.
Yeah.
But it's very much like, it looks ratty as fuck right now.
Well, I did find you a new haircut. It just happened to come from a Mad Max movie.
Yeah, with the poofador.
Yeah.
The poofador pullback. Yeah. I can't do it. It's time for me to just shave it all and to just be a giant bald behemoth.
It'll look good. It'll look good.
And that's what they all say. I don't know.
I'm trying to boost you up.
I know. It's fine. It's fine.
I also feel that I have to do that as someone that is obviously not going to lose their hair.
Yeah, it's going. It's fine. I don't care. I also want to find a way to shave my head and in my current physique, not, how do you put this? From a distance, if I have my hair like it is now, right? You can tell I probably lean liberally. Okay, no matter how large or scary looking I am, like the boy with the blonde hair hanging around with a 240 frame.
Right.
He's not as scary. But if I shave my head, I'm a little worried that I will look like a skinhead because I look gigantic and also have a shaved head.
Yeah.
But in the summer, I'm very sweaty. I'm already very sweaty. The fact that we can't do this with the air on here is it's already a problem, and it's May. It's going to get so sweaty soon. Yep. And I choose it. I live in the South. I get it. I live in the South. But I'm trying to find an approachable way to look like I'm not a racist. So do you think I should get like a face tattoo that says not racist? Or is that...
I think you need to... It needs to be one word just in case the not like comes off or something.
Should I do diversity across my forehead? Let's go Brandon right across as a mustache. Should I get a neck tattoo that says limitless? That's the new trend these days, right? Or should I get knuckle tattoos that say woke? I guess it'd have to say more than woke. There's a
woke.
Woke, woke. Very woke. Very woke. Would that help? Would that make me seem...
I don't know. Because then people are going to look at it and go,
yeah.
This feels like you wrote a song about not being a pedophile.
Yeah, I'm very woke. I'm very woke. Did you see Drake was renting out Dave and Buster's to DJ in?
What?
This is new on the news.
What?
So two things I found today about Drake. They were interviewing one girl who Drake's father follows, who's 17, and they said, what would you do if, like, Drake tried to have sex with you? And her response was, I'm not allowed to talk about that because of the lawsuit.
Oh,
the courts say I can't talk about that. And he goes, what? And she goes, the courts say I can't talk about that. And he goes, oh, my God, Drake. And then it turns out there's videos of Drake renting out Dave and Buster's and DJing at them. And let me just say this. Dave and Buster's may present itself as an adult establishment, but if you're renting out a Dave and Buster's to DJ in, you're a pedophile.
Yeah.
That's Chuck E. Cheese for people who've gone through puberty.
Yeah.
That's absolutely unacceptable. And if you're as rich as Drake and you're DJing at the Dave and Buster's, it's not because you need to.
No. No.
That's like owning an ice cream truck and saying, but the margins on ice cream are incredible, as you drive through the neighborhood and the children run up wanting a dip cone.
I kicked out an ice cream truck the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
What were they trying to get, Whippets?
Dude pulled up an ice cream truck blasting the fucking music.
Oh, God.
And it's right in front of the store. And I walked out front and I was like, hey, buddy, literally anywhere else. And he goes, what? And I go, adults only store. You need to move.
Yeah, dude.
We can't have an ice cream truck out for
like. And also, you're in Little Five Points. There's nothing for children there.
No.
There's
no.
You ready? Like, I won't even talk about the vape stores and the fashion stores. Children don't like Thai food or Indian food or records.
Have you been to Thai Five recently?
No, why?
It sucks now. They got a new chef. It's terrible. Everything's like sugary and sweet. It's
no.
Awful. Yeah. Like half the menu doesn't exist anymore. They got fucked.
What happened? That was so good.
I know. It's really sad.
Panang curry, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. They take everything from me.
I know.
What about that vegan Indian place, though? Is it still good?
Yeah, that's still good. That's because we've noticed that the orders are going to them now.
Yeah, because it fucking rips. Yeah. All right. Well, good. I'm glad we didn't go. The other day we had a choice of going there or going to Hudson Grill, and I got to Hudson Grill, and I was like, this isn't good.
Hudson Grill is so mid.
Mid as fuck.
Their burgers are questionable.
I was like, we should have gone to Thai Five, but now you're telling me.
Yeah, try the new vegan pizza place.
I don't know. We've been going to Vortex a lot lately.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because they have good tater tots.
They do have good tater tots.
You know, I got a Reuben and tater tots the other day. That shit ruled. They also have fried pickles.
What is was it a Paul Reubens?
No, is it called a Southern Reubens or something? Or I don't know. They have funny names for everything. But the baby. It was a good baby. But then we're eating.
Not the baby.
Not the baby.
Not little baby.
Not little baby. This was a little baby.
It was a little baby.
They got me dinner, and I thought it was very nice. And then they said, do you want to feed the baby? And I felt like I was like the chosen one, right? It's like, what, I'm allowed to feed the baby? And they got the bottle ready and did everything. And I laid down and I'm holding the baby to feed it. And then I realized I was just like doing their chores for them, because this baby has to eat 6 times a day.
Oof.
And I realized that when the baby starts, I'm like, oh, the baby, and it's drinking from the bottle. And they're all doing other stuff. And I'm going, y'all just had things to do. And you were like, another person is here. Let him feed the baby. It'll keep. It's like a 45-minute task for this baby, and the baby keeps falling asleep, sucking on the bottle, going. And you go, okay. And the mom would come up and just like rub the cheeks. She's like, "That's what makes the baby suck more on the bottle." And you're like, "This is. I got tasked, and I really thought I was the chosen one here."
God.
And the poor dog. The dog is very protective now of the baby, and the dog is like Bebop size and very cute. But the dog, you can tell, is like, no one is giving me any love anymore. And the dog is allowed to sit with the baby while it eats, but it has to face the other way. And the dog knows this, so it comes and sits next to me and faces the other way, and it keeps like turning back, looking. And I was like, "You're okay." And they're like, "He knows he has to face the other way while the baby eats." It was intense. It was great. And little did I know, for how excited I was to meet that baby, that I would be just as excited to give that baby back. And they were like, all right. And I was like, all right. And I gave that baby back and I went, being an uncle, this shit rules. I got to do all the baby things. And then I just left. The baby is now being dealt with by the parents. It's their baby. It's not my baby. And I love that baby. And I hope that baby will call me if it gets arrested, or call me if, like, how does the Narcan work? I'll help the baby when it's an adult. Not saying baby, like baby version would do that. But I hope I can be the uncle that you call when you're like, we're not allowed to ask our parents this.
Yeah.
And I go, here, yeah. Let's be safe. I'm protecting your life. Let's make sure you're okay.
Oh, Uncle Effie will know what poppers are.
Don't hold them too close to your nose or it'll burn. You don't want to irritate the skin when you're doing poppers, baby Gabriella. Yeah, I want to be that uncle where you're like, hey, we're in real fucking trouble. And I go, that's not even real trouble. That's low grade trouble, baby Gabby. Call me when you're in prison. I want to be that uncle.
Yeah.
It was very cool to meet the baby. It was very cool to leave the baby. I enjoyed that part of it. Went to the hotel, got this weird ass hotel. I got a deal on the hotel, but I was like, this is a weird hotel. I got there. I did a Priceline deal. This one giant bed.
Did William Shatner help you out?
He did not. He fucking left me hanging. And Cole was coming down early to hang out because we had the show Friday. And I said, you know, his flight kept getting delayed. And it was fine. I was like, it's all good. He said, well, when I get there, I'm going to find where South Park is. And I said, okay, so bad news. There's no South Park. He's like, what are you talking about? This hotel just had antenna channels. Like, not like cable or satellite, like antenna channels.
Oh, God.
And the channels were like 6 weather channels.
Oh, no.
The Scientology channel.
Oh, no.
And then one channel that shows like cop dramas. And that was as good as it gets. At one point, we found Family Guy. And it was the end of Family Guy. And I was like, this is as close as we're getting to South Park. And then it turned off. And I was like, oh, we're fucked again. This is not good. Made the most of it. Made it work. Chilled in Florida for the next day. It's too fucking hot in Florida.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's crazy. We were right next to a strip club, the original Dollhouse. You may not be familiar with the original Dollhouse. And we were not going to the original Dollhouse, but this strip club is famous because it's where Scott Hall killed a guy.
Oh, God.
He used to be a bouncer there, and this dude came and was starting trouble in like 1991 or two. And then Scott Hall got in a tussle with him and then accidentally had to shoot this guy because he tried to pull a gun on him. So I was like, look, there it is. The history of wrestling where Scott Hall killed a man.
He's the one with the crazy face, right? It's just like a lot of face.
I don't know.
Like the most face that anyone has
ever
had.
He's dead now. I don't know. Is he?
I don't know.
Where have you seen this man's face?
I don't know. I'm just blending together stuff I've
probably
seen from wrestling Twitter.
He's the, he's like, hey, yo. And he did the fake Scarface character.
Let me just see if this is who I'm thinking.
Yeah. Scott Hall.
Also forgot to bring it up on a mini-sode. So funny how the original Star Wars is a mix of Hinduism and Buddhism, but Phantom Menace is just straight up Scientology.
Is it?
Oh my God. Yeah, midichlorians? Yeah.
The midichlorians create the power. I guess George, what's his name?
George C. Scott.
George Star Wars?
The director of Star Wars.
George Star Wars? George Star Wars had a lot more money than.
Yeah, like the most face that anyone has ever had.
Is it because of the amount of face?
It's a lot of face.
It is a lot of face. But I wouldn't, that's not the first thought I have with him, you know?
You don't look at that and go, that's a lot of face?
It is a lot of face, now that you're saying it. But that's not like, if I'm like, hey, Scott Hall, and you're like, the man with so much face. Like, I don't
so
know.
So much face.
It's a lot of face.
It's a lot of face. Look,
I love how that's
I
your
have to relate to wrestling in the way that I can relate to wrestling. And
I
this
get
is
it.
How I'm relating to wrestling.
Scott Hall, we miss you. Rest in peace. I'm glad I got to be in the hotel next to where you killed that guy. We all took a homie picture in front of it. It was like me and Scarlett and Poo Poo and Cole. And it was all of us posing in front of the Dollhouse sign where Scott Hall killed that guy. It's historic. It's beautiful. Florida, not a great place. Just, I don't miss it. Somebody was like, why did you drive to Florida, right? And there's reasons. Like, oh, I wanted to see the baby. I wanted to come early. The real reason I drive in Florida is so that I can remember while I'm driving in Florida that I used to do this for no money.
Yeah.
That I used to drive all over Florida in the same concept for no fucking money. And I laugh the whole time I do it now. And I go, you're still driving in Florida for more money, but you're still driving in Florida.
Yeah.
You fucking moron.
Yeah.
I like to ground myself in that way.
It's because you had your Mars return this past weekend. And that's
did
an
I?
Interesting manifestation.
What does that mean?
It means Mars is coming back around to the same spot where it was that you were born, and so you are reevaluating the promise of your Mars. The promise of your Mars is Fight Club with your friends, which is wrestling.
Right. And I'm reevaluating it?
You are... well,
I had a lot of reevaluations.
That moment of, I used to do this for no money, and now I'm doing it for money, and here I am. It's It is reassessing. Like, you don't have to... Reassessing doesn't mean that you change. It just means that you're reviewing something. And so it is interesting for you, particularly after Mercury retrograde in Aries, to go, huh, see where we were, see where we are now.
Yeah. Well, I did that. And it was... I'm still doing it. Here I am. Here I am to wrestle. Here I am to drive in Florida. It's singing a praise and worship song.
When you do that.
I know.
It's so triggering.
I know. I told you. Well, never mind. So by the time Friday actually rolls around, people are getting into town. I just want to say this fucking car key was so much of a problem. And not just when I got home, okay? So we wait for Poo Poo and Scarlett to land. We get food at IHOP. I eat all my food. Scarlett goes to get Poo Poo at the airport and come back. And I go, yeah, I'll do another stack of pancakes. Eight more pancakes at IHOP. And then we were not able to check into our regular room yet. So I said, okay, what do we do? And my good friend Scott hit us up and said, I have a suite at this place. Just come hang out here. So I parked my car at the... what's that fucking, it doesn't matter what it's called. I parked my car at the hotel we're supposed to be at, and we ride over to this place, and my key falls out in Scarlett's car.
Ooh.
I don't realize this
uh-huh.
until it's time to leave. So we've all chilled at the suite. It's beautiful. The views of Florida. We love it. I was thinking, if there's a hurricane, it would look so cool right here coming in to the fucking harbor, all that. I would definitely be a Scientologist if I lived in Florida. So seems like a really good idea. So Scarlett has to get to the show a little bit before us. So I was like, all right, we'll just wait a minute. So me and Cole Uber back to my car at this hotel. And then I realized I do not have the key to this car. And I'm going, oh shit. And I call Scarlett. I go, do you know where this key is? She's like, it's in my car. You left it in my car. And I go, oh fuck. So now we're going to be super late to the show because I have left this car key in her car. She has to drive back across Tampa. I said, Cole, you better just get in the car with her because I don't know if I'm able to get you anywhere on time at this point. I get the key back. I get in my car. I make my way. And I'm only bringing this up so you can see it's in my character to lose car keys, which I do at a later time. And on this very evening, I have a match four with Mance Warner. Mm-hmm. And as I'm even bringing it up, I don't even want to talk about it because it was disgusting and horrendous, and there was so much blood. You haven't even seen how much blood there was. I went to Brett and I said, could we just be the main event? Not because I want to be the main event, but I feel really disgusting making other people wrestle in the amount of blood I'm expecting in this match. And both Danhausen and Blake Christian and Missy Hyatt came back to me separately and were like, there was so much blood in that ring. Blake Christian goes, it was, the canvas was squishy. And I was bleeding very early in the contest. Mance was bleeding a little later in the contest. But it was a horrendous amount of blood coming out of both of us. Like, I must have lost more than a pint of blood in this match. It was pouring from me to the point also where something got into my forehead. I thought I had a regular zit earlier. Not a regular zit. There was something in my forehead that was now pussing up because it, like, healed over. I don't know. I don't want to gross everybody out all the way. So much blood. Also, there was so much blood that he tried to throw me out of the ring through a set of chairs, and the blood was dripping everywhere to the point where I lost my footing and he could not grip me, and I just missed the chairs completely and land about 8 feet to the ground on the vinyl flooring because there was so much blood. And in the end, I just kept stabbing Mance Warner in the face. I would not let there be a count. And I went and tried to set him on fire because I was losing my fucking mind, to which I was held back saying, you'll kill everyone in the building. I said, I don't care if he dies. And he escaped. And I ran after him. And we have now made a determination at the behest of General Manager Cardona. How the fuck that happened, I don't understand. That we will be meeting in the Cage of Survival under one condition. I'm not allowed to touch him until the Cage of Survival. I assume that means he's not allowed to touch me. There's been questions. I don't think he needs to touch me. I think he's just
making
sure.
What do you mean by touch? Like,
we are not allowed. We are not allowed to have any physical interaction. And I'm assuming it means because he's going to try to kill my friends. And I've run in and helped when this has happened.
Oh, I got you. I got you. I got you.
And yeah, he's got matches with my friends coming up, with Cole, with Alec. I'm sure my other friends will be around. But I'm assuming they will be able to handle themselves around Mance before the cage. Because once I get him in the cage, that's all I need. I told him, you have a month to live.
Bless you.
Ugh. I don't need to touch him anymore. I've touched him enough. I've stabbed him enough. I've dealt with him enough. I hope this will be the end of it.
Yeah.
But this is the cage of survival. So
it doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, if you had to guess what goes on in the cage of survival, Peter, what would you think? What would you think that's like?
Survival in a cage?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I'm sure.
And I'm thinking how much blood there was in Tampa in a match with not many instruments of blood.
Uh-huh.
And I have a feeling this may be a mess. Now, the thing about the terminal in the Atlantic City Showboat is that they don't give a fuck what happens in there, be it lighting someone on fire or stabbing someone or glass or barbed wire or blood everywhere. They just let us do whatever the fuck we want, which most of the time doesn't result in any problems. But I have a feeling this is going to be a fucking nightmare.
I mean, the terminal, they let that guy from Cracovia stay there for years.
How will I ever get out of the airport? It's me, Tom Hanks. I'm in the airport forever. Where is my passport? I'm not from here. How does that happen?
Okay. So I watched the video.
Which video?
There was a cut together. I was basically waiting to see if you had died or not over the course of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
After the Mance thing. And so video comes out. I'm watching it and going, Jesus fucking Christ, this is insane. Like, he looks like an absolute demon in there. And then
is this the one where I'm challenging him?
This was like the super cut of all of it together, to where in the middle you're just banging crutches.
Yeah, yeah.
Hitting him when was under the trash can. And then, I'm sorry, there is nothing funnier than you not being able to get the gas can open.
I know. Why do they have these fucking safety valves on the gas can?
With the gas can.
I know.
And so the next day I go to work and I go, Caleb, did you see? And he goes, what are you talking about? And so I pull up the video. And I tell, you know, another employee in the store, hey, Ashley, don't look over here.
Yeah,
like,
this is disgusting.
This is going to be intense. And it gets to you trying to open the gas can, and he just loses it. He thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
I'm glad my timing is hilarious.
We pulled up, there was another video that popped up, and the other employee, Ashley, happened to be looking our direction and goes, oh, God. Just real loud in the store.
No, this is normal. This is regular stuff amongst your friends. This is how it goes. Yeah, it's one of those fucking safety valves, which I'm over here going, why are there safety valves on a gas can? Clearly, there's a reason. But I just undid the whole thing. I just ripped the whole top off. So I figured it out, and I was stopped from lighting Mance on fire, which is a callback. Somebody complained, we don't ever get a real end of the match here in Tampa. And I go, what do you think you were missing?
Me to set him on fire?
What do you think you were missing in the story? You wanted the whole building to go up in flames? Well, wow. Okay. All right. We'll give it to you, buddy. Yeah, hell of a time. No staples. No doctor's visit after.
That's good. That's positive.
I really ripped his face open. That thing was... I did drink his blood. I don't know if you caught that on camera.
No, I didn't.
I was stabbing him in the corner, and I went out. There's video of it, and I am... Hold up. I was like, I don't think I can post this.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe I just don't even look at this right now. I am under him on the outside before I go get the gas can, and the blood is dripping out of his face, and I'm just drinking it. And it is... I just want to say this. I don't like daylight anymore. I don't like the sun. Okay? It was warm, and it was nutritious. And if I could become a vampire, I would. That's what I'm going to say. I don't want to be in the sun anymore. All right. I want to sleep in a fucking coffin and to be left alone. And I want to drink blood for my nutrition. I'm tired of thinking about, oh, what am I going to eat? What am I going to get? I'm going to get on Uber Eats and see what's on sale. Got to go to the grocery store and plan meals ahead. I've got ground turkey that's been sitting in the fucking freezer for months, literally. I can complain about the bananas, but let's be honest. I got ground turkey that's just been sitting in there for months. And you're saying, oh, the solution is you could not have to be in the sun anymore because I lose my sunglasses every time. I would not have to be in the sun. I could eat Twinks for nutrition. I would never have to think about my next meal. And I would just drink blood and I would be immortal.
For a second, I thought you meant Twinkies, but you meant literally.
I want to drink the blood of the Twinks. All right? You can fuck them and drink them. Okay? I'm choosing vampire as my body gives out on itself. I'm choosing vampire.
You, I mean, you know the where they hang you upside down and it's supposed to like adjust your back or whatever?
Yeah. See? Even another great idea. Inversion table, I can hang upside down like a bat. And I'm not even thinking about, oh, I can become a bat and fly at night. That'd be sick.
You know, some of the symbolism on my birthday this past year was specifically Dracula vampire. And okay. I don't know how it relates to this year of my life yet, but I'm starting at the picture that you might be the Dracula.
I am looking for every possibility of becoming a vampire. And that's, I finally got to drink the blood. And I said, you know what? It's all making sense. It's all making sense to me. I'm sick of the sunlight. I'm sick of thinking about what I'm going to eat, paying for food, when what I could be doing is culling the herd and drinking their blood and going to bed during the day. That's my preference. Close the fucking curtains. Don't let the sun get in here. It'll kill me. Let me drink your blood. That's it. That's all I want. The next day, I chose to drive home, and I drove back, and I took a fortuitous dose of mushrooms. Now, my backpack broke in Florida, so I was like, I got to get a backpack. I got a backpack. Took a fortuitous dose of mushrooms, and when I woke up to catch my flight to New Jersey at 5 in the morning, I was in a very unprepared state.
Uh-huh.
Very unprepared. And I'm throwing shit in a bag. I'm trying to figure everything out. Should I have packed the night before? Yeah. Was I in a state to do so? No. And I'm going, I cannot find the keys to this goddamn car. I cannot find the keys to this rental car that I'm supposed to return and get on the plane. And I go, I do not have time to think about this rental car. I'm not going to get to the airport in time. I call an Uber and I send a very dramatic text. Do you have this text?
Yes, I'm gonna read it. Cause this was the first thing that I woke up to. Yeah, absolutely couldn't find the rental key fob anywhere today and just had to leave the car in Uber. If you happen to see it, let me know. It's not on you. Bit worried. It's maybe on the ground by the car or in the trash with the Wendy's bag. But I can look when I'm back and deal with it. Too dark and chaotic. I was going to miss my flight. Thanks for watching them. See you soon. No punctuation.
No
all
punctuation.
Just, no capitalization. No nothing. And I.
Next is a message from you, a picture that says, found them. And I said, where were they? He said, you're going to hate it. It was just in the car, little door pocket. They were just sitting in the car.
It was just in the little handle change thing.
And it's because I had the door open and was trying to start the car. It was like, no keys here. I was like, oh, if they're in the car, it'll start. No, the door is open, so they're not in the car, mm-hmm. even though they're there. If I would have mm-hmm. just shut the door and hit the button, I would have mm-hmm. gone, oh, but no. Instead, I paid $45 for a fucking Uber to the airport. I had to pay another $50 to let the car go another day. And then when I landed, I had to go back to the fucking airport. And you saw the state I was in when I got back here. Mm-hmm. It was of no state to go back to the airport. And I did it. You're like, do you want me to ride with you? And I was like, no, you don't want to take on this chaos. You don't want to take this chaos on right now. This is not good.
It's this. So this is one of those annoying things. But I truly believe that all delays are on purpose. It is obstacles in your way to save you from a much worse fate.
So you think that I would have wrecked that car on the way to the airport?
Who knows? Something terrible may have happened. It was you were being protected even though you were frustrated.
I accepted my fate, though, and I just dealt with it as it came up. But I did go to New Jersey, which was beautiful, to wrestle for the third time, Pimpinella Escarlata.
Did she remember you this time?
No. So this is, and this is a bigger point I want to make, okay? For as awesome as it is to be on speaking terms with everyone in wrestling and saying hello to everyone when you get there and everyone is aware of you, Pimpinella shows up, says hello, doesn't know who she's saying hello to, goes to her dressing room and doesn't even know what the night is going to hold, has not seen a poster, doesn't know what the name of the show, doesn't know who's running it as long as they pay her, doesn't know who her opponent is, and she just goes, I'm showing up to be Pimpinella. I guess they'll tell me what to do. To have this sort of mindset seems like the goal.
Yeah.
Like, I went up to her and I said her real name, which I knew threw her off. But I've called her this before. I was like, you know, real name Pimpy, it's us tonight. She goes, oh? I said, do you remember me? And she goes, nah. And so I tried to like goad her into remembering me. And she finally put it together. And she goes, mano y mano? And I go, si. And as we put this match together, there's certain things where she's going, like she doesn't want to do all that. But I was like, we're doing all of that. And it's not much. And I called this match to be at Pimpy speed. Well, I don't know why I tried to predict her speed, because this is the fastest I've ever seen that woman go. This woman was quick on this particular occasion.
Damn.
I will say, though, somebody pulled me aside. I think it was Ref Scarlett. And she goes, she was watching your entrance the whole time through the curtain. I said, oh, yeah? She goes, she was enamored. And I went, okay, I'll take that. And she also did not, I've never asked her to lose before. Okay, I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit. Singles match in Dallas at my own show, she won. Tag match with Sunny against me and Allie, she won. And I said, no, not today. Effie Hogan's going over, brother. And I pitched her the finish, and she said, you win? And I said, yes. And she goes, maybe rapido. For the count, maybe rapido, like maybe it's a fast count. And I go, yeah. And I looked at Scarlett and I go, it's not a fast count, Scarlett. This is how it, this is, she goes, I know. And we did the match and then I put her over at the end and she was very excited. And, you know, Gringo couldn't stop telling me, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for doing this. I'm going, Gringo, I watched your match. Your match was one of the most insane things I've ever seen. Stop thanking me for showing up and like being a femboy.
Such a sweetheart.
He's such a sweetheart, such but a I'm sweetheart. Going, you don't have to thank me for doing what I do, which is, could you come be gay with the gay one?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Here's the easiest thing in your wheelhouse possible. And he's just like, thank you so much. You're such a great opponent for Pimpy. And I go, like, I'm trying not to use slurs here, but like, yeah, like it makes sense, brother. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. This was not like...
He is so good at making you feel like you are the most important person when he's talking to you.
And he's genuine about it.
And he's genuine. Like, it's, yes.
He's wonderful.
It's, that is the example. That is how we should all be treating people.
Yes. And I got to hang out with Nick Karp that night. Got to hang out with Cole some more that night. We had a great time. Didn't have to leave early. Got back here, but I was still exhausted. And that's, I had to fucking take the fucking car back. And I just, you know... I was over it at that point. Once I get home after everything.
Oh, God.
Because even coming home Saturday, it was with the understanding that I was going to have to leave again. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm home. It was like, you're taking a pit stop because your backpack is broken and you need to drop the car off kind of a shit. But then when you finally get home and you go, and now I'm going back to the airport, you're just kind of like, I'm done with all this shit. I'm fucking over it. I made it happen, though. I did it. I survived. I came home. Here we are. We're going to go see McGee tomorrow.
Yes.
I listened to that album in the shower when I figured out the minisode was going to be interesting. When all that was started kicking in, I went, ooh, measure next time, kid, measure. Oh, Bebop's checking on Cranberry. Cranberry's had her weird legs. I don't know what's up with her. You're okay, baby. I can't tell if you're faking it or if they fall asleep and you freak out. We're going to figure it out, though, babe. Don't hurt her. And then I'm going to go to a freelance on Friday. That's all I've got this weekend before doing some weird stuff next week. And then going to the casino in Minnesota.
Ooh.
Yes. And then the end of May is going to be the most testing of all is I go to Lucha Libre and Laughs in Denver, and then go to Chicago for GCW, and then Columbus for GCW. Before then going to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada on May 31st, and then TOS, I'm going to go just be in attendance in Atlantic City, and COS, I will be in the cage of Survival officially.
Ooh.
In the next few weeks, we have a bit of media coming out between me and Mance Warner and Dave Prazak. Dave Prazak, I told him this in the hotel in Tampa. I said, listen, it's hard not to be a little giddy as a wrestling fan to know that Dave Prazak is involved in this. And I was like, and I know you've done hundreds of matches for me, and you've called a lot of my stuff, not only at GCW, but at Freelance and a lot of other places. But also, this man's been calling wrestling since 03. Like, this man has called Samoa Joe and CM Punk matches. Like, just anyone on the indies that's ever been on the indies, this man has called their matches. And now we have sit-down content with him. He goes, well, I'm never on the camera. I go, that's why it's even cooler. That's why it's so much cooler to have you involved in this. So that will be out soon. Obviously, we can do a sit-down now because we're not allowed to have contact. So I'm hoping people will be able to garner a bit more from us on this story. It gets very personal. And by the time we get to the cage, I hope they'll understand why I have to scalp a motherfucker in Atlantic City. How's that, Peter?
I love it.
We did okay on this episode,
yeah, let's guess
given
we
the
did.
Circumstances.
Yeah.
I'm still in it, but
yeah.
Ooh. Lion's mane.
You want to do questions?
Yeah, please. Is that okay? Are you hurting? Yeah, it's just butt rubs.
Cran loves the butt rubs.
Cran needs butt rubs.
Okay. Peruvian owls always hunt in pairs. That's because they're in cahoots.
Wait, why were they Peruvian owls? Just to throw me off the track?
It's a Inca joke.
Inca hoots. Oh man, that's funnier. Even I would have just taken it at its plane. Who's that from?
The Heather.
Heather and Mike, I got to see you this weekend. Thank you.
Oh, lovely. Lovely,
your blessings. Lovely. I told you, you bring me so much joy. I love you. Thank you.
Okay, this is from Clissy.
Clissy!
Effie and P-Tar, what are your favorite 1975 songs? Just heard Roadkill, which was my most played song last year and can't stop listening to it again.
I love so many of those songs. But every time I want to just sing one, I sing She's American to Allie.
Yeah?
Yeah, I sing it to her all the time.
Interesting. Why that song?
Why that song? Huh. I don't know if I'm supposed to go into detail here, but She's American and the boys are not always. There's plenty of others in there. Funny. I think I picked, when we were doing the music selection, which I do not participate in enough, when we were making Patreon playlists.
Oh, yeah.
I think, what's it called? Weathering? Is that a song?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think I really liked that one. I remember going to see 1975, though, with my good friend Jonathan, and we were the oldest people there.
Yeah.
It was me, Jonathan, and a lot of 14-year-olds.
What era did you see them?
I saw them right after the second album came out.
Okay. I saw them when the first album was Ooh. About to come out.
Oh.
They opened for The Neighborhood.
Whoa.
Center stage.
They opened for The Neighborhood.
They opened for The Neighborhood.
Okay.
I have an exceptional luck at catching a band.
Right before they explode.
Because the last time I saw Knocked Loose, they were at like 50,000 on Spotify. They're at 1.4 million now.
Yeah, they've kind of blown up.
Yeah.
And now we can't go see them with Slipknot because they're coming nowhere near us.
I know.
Bastards.
I know. I would love, you said it the other day, see Slipknot before they call it a day.
Yeah, like, please let me go to a real big-ass Slipknot show. Call me a maggot. Let me get crazy. They're back in the red jumpsuits.
I know,
like,
I know.
Come on.
Yeah.
Slipknot fucking rules.
I know.
That Slipknot first album was like my workout album forever.
I was just talking about to actually Rick, who listens to the podcast. Mm-hmm. The first five songs of that are some of the most brutal shit ever put.
Rick sent me a beautiful message about the pictures.
Oh, excellent.
That his wife sent that are now hanging up above us.
They will be permanently up there. I'm nervous about them right now, but it's fine.
We're going to make them tight. We're going to make it work.
Favorite, gosh, that it's for all the Matt Healy of it all, like just to divorce that from the conversation. that band is one of those bands that has felt like it has been with me at different stages of my life. Like, they have put records out where I go, this is for me right now. So I don't know. They are so near and dear to my heart. I've been playing Chocolate at the vape store just to annoy everybody.
You know, my cousin actually got me onto the 1975, and I didn't want to like him at first because he's a youth pastor. And he was like, no, you got to hear this band, the 1975. And I was like, if the youth pastor cousin's putting me onto them, they can't be that cool.
Yeah.
And then I listened and I was like, why are y'all listening to this?
Yeah.
I feel like this goes against your salvation, baby. Well,
I got turned on to Tool through my youth pastor.
What?
Yeah. Where he was like, this is my favorite band, but I can't listen to them. And I go, okay, well, I want to know what this is about.
I want to know more about this. You can't listen to them. What's it going to do?
R.I.P. Steve Albini. Just a wonderful Tool.
He wasn't very old, was he?
He was in the 60s.
That's not old at all.
Yeah, he had a heart attack.
That's not good.
I know.
We'll try to let things go so you don't have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I'm not really setting myself up for poor health, like for good health in the future, as I tell somebody to calm down and don't have heart attacks. But I'm hopeful that these lion's mane will help me calm it all out of my system.
The power of fungi.
I will say I woke up very angry for some reason today, and now I'm not. It's been a moody day.
Yeah, today was a moody day. I fully woke up preparing to battle the moodiness, and the moodiness was battled towards me.
Yeah, it wasn't your moodiness.
No. Okay, this is from Danny. I was watching Spaceballs on Thursday. A question for both of you. Do you think Mel Brooks' films, if ever anything new, would fly today?
Yeah, I think they would. You'd have to change certain things. Like, he did Blazing Saddles, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's certain aspects of Blazing Saddles you would have to shift a little bit. But I think, like, the main parts of what makes Spaceballs funny are not things that you would have to ban now.
Yeah.
Like, just joking and LARPing on the commercialism of everything. Or just the black guys with the giant afro pick when they're combing the desert. Like, that's hilarious, and it's not racist. It's just like, of course they would be using the afro pick to do that. I don't know. There's a lot of facts of that movie that I think are fine today. And the little things that you're thinking are, you know, oh, they would go against it. Mel Brooks is adjustable, I feel like.
100%.
You know, he's never doing things with the intention of like singling people out or making them feel bad. It's just he's making a lot of silly jokes that I think if he had to adjust his joke somewhat, they would still be hilarious.
Yeah, definitely. It was really funny, Jerry Seinfeld going around and giving all those interviews about how you can't make jokes anymore. And yet, you know, the guy that created the show that he was on has
made just the most un-PC, deplorable.
Yes.
You said, is he doing a Trump thing throughout the whole back half of this? And I was like, yes.
Yes.
He's unknowingly just being Donald Trump all the time.
I really noticed it when he's trying to get the pool fence.
Yeah.
And so him starting to have to like talk about laws and things like that, I go, oh my God.
Yeah. He's doing a full-on idiot Trump thing. Like, I've got to learn these laws, but it's for reasons you don't want to know. Yeah.
And then the roping off of the chair was fucking fantastic when
she kept sitting in his chair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then so he ropes it off and everyone goes, you're That's never going to work in this town again.
Yes. If we really want to kill Donald Trump, you should make him president again. Truly.
Yeah, like, truly.
There's no way that guy makes it 3 weeks.
Okay, this is from Julie. Do you have any good groom gone off the rails wedding photography stories?
Oh, that's a you.
I was trying to think. These aren't nearly as fun because a lot of the ones that come up were during the pandemic, and I shot, like, the studio that I worked for, one of the owners of the studio calls me up middle of 2020 and goes, man, it's so weird. I've just had pneumonia for the last 3 months. And I go, yeah, I'm sure it's pneumonia, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what you had.
Were you tested for anything else?
Oh God. And so in the middle of that, it was, you know, going out and shooting weddings and stuff like, can you take your mask off?
I don't know. Do you need that? Is this a requirement?
Yeah.
No.
So I can't think of, you know what, I'm going to sit on that one. And if I have a really, really good one.
Yeah. Cause it usually seems like the grooms are sitting on their hands so they don't cause any more problems that day.
Yeah. The, in general, the grooms are terrified of everything else that's happening that day and are generally despondent when it comes to photos. The ones that would throw you off is where they go, oh no, we're doing a whole photo shoot over here. And I go, really? That's what we're doing? Now, I will say that there is a... Okay, here's... So, if we're talking... No, I'm going to sit on this one.
Sit on it.
I'm going to sit on this
one. You're allowed to. We're going to be back. Don't worry.
We're
going to
be back.
Groomzilla.
Groomzilla. There's really not that many.
Yeah, that's my Groomzilla
noise.
Again,
it's the moms. It's the moms that are always the fucking issue.
But you know, part of me starts to think about gay weddings, and I go, I can think of then, but... You know, you let the girls have their day. Weddings aren't for the boys.
No.
Also, weddings are the reason for the term straggit. Okay? You guys want to go dress up and hold hands and have flowers thrown and do a secret government ceremony for your love?
Jump over a broom.
You fucking straggits. Grow up.
The least I've ever had to work a wedding was second marriage lesbian couple.
Yeah.
Oh my God. 40s lesbians
they were
that
just
have already
like,
been married.
We're good. We've done this.
They're like, oh, we don't, whatever you want to do. That's fine. We go, okay. Cool.
That's lovely.
All right. I'm just going to
hang
out.
How was the food?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Just an easy, fun
just
day.
Just like, yeah, if you want to take some photos, that's cool. If not, whatever.
We're over here. We're having a good time.
Exactly.
We figured it
out. In fact, don't take too many photos.
Yeah. Just don't need to see everything. Let me remember this as it was. I don't want to look back and see cousin Peter over here in the corner being weird. Why? Not you. I think I just said it because you're in front of me.
How dare you?
I'm going to go eat more lion's mane. Cousin Greg, how's that? Is that
perfect.
Better?
Yeah,
is that better?
Yeah, there we go. There
cousin
we go.
Greg in the corner.
There we go.
You're not Peter, you're Pitar.
Pitar.
Come on, these are very different names. Mm-hmm. You want to try those lion's mane?
Yeah.
They're squishy.
Yeah.
Squishy. I got to get the dog some food.